gosh.
All the way through, no edits. No,
I don't have time for your shenanigans.
All the way through, no edits.
Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Fancast. I'm your host, Sydney. Tonight was a great game. I totally faked you out. You were waiting for it. I'm joined by my co-host, Martin.
And this is our third time starting this because something stupid happens every time. Because
you did something stupid every time.
Yeah, well, I did the clapping for 45 minutes.
Okay. I don't care about all the small talk crap.
talk to you later then.
good game. Well, you know, I hate podcasts that start out with like, hey, how's your day going? You know,
well,
I went shopping the other day and I went to the mall and man, there was no, it's like nobody cares.
And then I bought a refrigerator and I put food in it.
Anyways.
Good story, bro. Yeah.
So good game by the Mavs. I'm going to be honest. There was a point in this game where I thought they were going to lose because the Knicks apparently, this is still a big matchup for them. And I did not know that or I wasn't expecting that. I figured, I don't know, it's over or it's the next year. I wasn't expecting that. And maybe it wasn't because it was a Mavs. Maybe it's just because the standings are so tight. But still, the Knicks were like way into this. And the Mavs just were not. Like, God, it was so sloppy in the first quarter.
I think it was the second quarter that they went down 44-31.
Oh, that was the really bad one. Okay.
And it was starting to look really ugly. The Knicks bench, they were flipping out after everything.
They were in it.
And the crowd was still, after all of this time, chanting, KP sucks.
Yeah.
And it's just like...
And booing him every time he touched it.
And there was like 10 people in there, and we could hear it.
Yeah.
So the passion that they were showing about their hatred for KP, it's like... It wasn't even his fault. Your organization has sucked now for 20 years, and you're going to blame KP for all this.
I was surprised. I just didn't know that it was that bad.
But, you know, once the game kind of settled down and the Mavericks started inserting their will, I think the whole Knicks team vibe disappeared. It's like when it got hard, they were like, oh, it's not going to be our night tonight. You know, we'll just sit down and not do anything. But when they were making that run... Or they were playing well, they were going nuts.
Yeah, I mean, the start of the game, the Mavericks just didn't, I don't know if they weren't focused or
they were choking.
I mean, it was just a really bad game overall. There were so many like shots that were air balls. Luka airballed a free throw. They missed two dunks. I mean, it was like, and these crazy turnovers, it was just a really sloppy start to the game.
They had more air balls. I'm going to cut you off like you do to me.
That's okay.
They had more air balls in this game than they had the entire season.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then, so that's why I thought they were going to lose. But like you said, they really came together, which again, I've said this like a lot in several of their past few wins is like their ability to fight through even just like minor adversity is such a good sign. And it's so good to see them like get down. The other team is all in it. You're having a crappy game. But still, you know, muster up all of that strength to come together and win it. It was just so good to see that.
And I really think, I know we don't praise him very much. In fact, we sometimes talk negatively about him. But I think a lot of that is a result of Josh Richardson.
Oh.
I think if Richardson wasn't on this team tonight, I don't know if they would have won. Because he had that calming presence when they went down by 13. He hit a couple of buckets. George Gervin-like layup that we were like, okay, he'll never do that again.
But I'm glad he did.
and he was kind of a steadying force.
He was,
And it helped calm the Mavericks down, I thought, which was really nice. So I think he deserves a lot of credit because that's kind of been – we've seen that several times from them this year. Where they've gone down early and the other teams kind of got it going and the Mavericks kind of settled down. And the common denominator or the only change from last year to this year is Josh Richardson.
That's true. I think also Jalen Brunson kind of had same effect.
He was wonderful tonight.
Yeah, because he was just slicing and dicing, basically. I mean, he's such a great shot creator off the bench. And so, yeah, he, I think, was a positive force. He was a plus 34 tonight. And then Josh Richardson, I agree with you. I mean, he only had 11 points, but there was a stretch probably where he scored all 11 of his points where he really kind of he kind of stemmed the tide a little bit to where it didn't get too bad.
Yeah. I Brunson, I think, I don't think the Knicks pay attention to any kind of scouting report, because they had a couple of times where they were deciding to attack Maxey. It's like, dude, he's our best perimeter defender.
I know.
But okay. And then they also were like, Jalen who?
Yeah.
You know, Luka got so much attention. You saw when Luka was out there, the entire Knicks team was fully engaged on the defensive end of the court.
Yeah.
As soon as Luka would leave, it's like they stopped playing defense or stopped with that same intensity, and Jalen burned them.
Yeah, I mean, he had 15 points, seven rebounds. Yeah, he was really great tonight. He's been good off the bench. Tim Hardaway Jr. was also good, 14 points, but he's just been really solid off the bench, and they needed all of that because... like,
especially in that first half when Hardaway was hitting him.
Yeah, I mean, like, Luka finished with 26 points on pretty good shooting efficiency, actually. But he had stretches, especially early in the first half, where it just, like, wasn't his game. And then Kristaps was just a non-factor. So they needed all of those guys.
Yeah, and I thought Luka, like I said, the attention that Luka was getting tonight on the defensive end of the court was kind of crazy. We hadn't seen that in a while because the Mavericks have done a better job of getting other people involved. Like, we saw this kind of defense early on when Luka was the only one scoring and they would just trap him every single time. But I thought he played okay. I thought in the fourth quarter he played much better. He got a technical foul, and everybody's talking about he didn't deserve the tech. I thought he did. The first one, the and one. Yeah. I know he only screamed and one, but what if he just stared at the ref and screamed? Like, that would be a technical foul. It was more the stare down than what he said.
Yeah, I mean, the and one wasn't... I can understand the ref could have let it go because it wasn't, like, egregious or anything.
Yeah.
But I also get, like, okay, if he was staring you down while saying it or yelling it, then okay.
But... and I know people talk about Luka complaining with the refs, but come on, guys. You're watching these games. You're seeing him getting
fouled.
Hammered.
Yeah.
He gets hammered, and he doesn't get the whistle. And the reason is, a lot like LeBron, because LeBron is so big and strong that he doesn't get pushed around. So when guys are hacking Luka, he's so big and strong, you can't really tell what's going on. But that one that out of bounds that they reversed, and they were talking about on the broadcast, like, he gets hammered twice. They didn't even touch the ball. It was all wrist.
Yeah.
And it's like, of course he gets frustrated because that's happening to him every time he drives it to the paint and he never gets the whistle. And there's just only so much frustration a guy can take.
Yeah. I tweeted that a while back that I just decided to accept that Luka complains about foul calls. It's not as bad as it used to be.
No.
But just whatever he does now, it's like, yeah, he does because he's getting fouled.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like at the end of the game, he still drops 30. So.
Yeah. Well, all stars complain about officiating.
Well, all players complain.
So it's not like Luka is this outlier. Yeah. And I know it was going on social media how he's a whiner and all that. It's like, okay, how is he any different than any other player in the league? If a player thinks he gets fouled, he complains. Now, the one thing that we wanted to see him work on, which was when to complain.
Yeah, or like not getting back in transition or letting it affect him.
That's what I mean. You don't do it when your team is trying to stop somebody. Yeah. But anyways, so yes, he got fouled a couple of times. He's not making his free throws right now. But you know what? Like, we're sitting here nitpicking about a guy who is averaging 28-9-9 and is putting this team on their backs, on his back.
Yeah, he finished with 26 points, 8 rebounds, and 7 assists. I mean, it's funny because the box line is really great, but he didn't have a
I felt like it was one of his worst games of the season.
Yeah. And I don't know if maybe he just kind of got hot a little bit towards the end and was able to clean up the numbers, but
I thought he was determined to put the game away.
Yeah, I saw that
I thought a couple of possessions where he just hit a shot. I thought he just looked like he was determined to ice it and win the game.
Yeah. What did you think about Kristaps? I mean, obviously we got to talk about...
he was choking.
That. Yeah.
He choked. He full-on choked, especially that first quarter. He was just jacking stuff up.
I mean, the whole game, really.
Yeah, he played better the second half.
Yeah.
Like, he did. He played better the second half.
Okay.
But he choked in the first half. And I thought he was rushing it. I thought he was trying
Maybe forcing it.
Yeah, I thought he was trying to have a big game instead of just letting the game come to him. But in Kristaps' mind, he is the kind of guy that will face his old team and drop 50 on him.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I don't know about that. But, you know, that's what I thought was happening. I'm glad we got the game over with. I'm glad we won.
Yeah.
And so maybe that will, if the Knicks continue to win, then he would hear it every time he went back here.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I understand wanting to have a good game. And so I don't know if maybe he just had a bad game or if it was that he was kind of choking there a little bit. I was talking, so I tweeted out how, like, this is why I don't think that Kristaps can be a solid number two option, because to me it doesn't seem like he shows up in big games. And not that the Knicks are a big matchup, but just because
for
of
the
Mavericks, history,
yes,
it's
it
a
is.
Big matchup. Yeah. And I was talking to somebody on Twitter who disagreed with that the narrative that he only shows up in meaningless games isn't actually true. And so I'm going to look at the numbers to see, because my eye test tells me he only has big games against sucky opponents, which with a few exceptions. I mean, he's had some good games in big games, but I'm gonna look at what's the opponent record.
Yeah, well, I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, remember, I went on this whole spiel, and this is where people were like, you're just a KP hate guy.
Oh, okay.
But I was just citing numbers. Remember, we talked about his fourth quarter shooting. He was like 1 of 13 in the fourth quarter, but you can also look at the win percentage of the opponent.
That's what I'm going to... Oh, did you look at that?
Yeah, and he was terrible. He was shooting it was like 29% or something. You can look it up. I don't remember the numbers
maybe
off the top of my head.
Maybe it's gone up since then.
But he was terrible. And that was my big complaint with him, is he doesn't show up when you need him to most. And that's been my problem with him. Everybody knows how I feel about KP. I would just rather him not be the second guy on this team. If he could just be a guy and be happy with that, I'll be happy with that. Because he has been doing a pretty good job defending the rim. Mm. It would be nice if Maxey was more of a dominant rebounder. So that way when KP has to help, Maxey can get the rebound and the Mavs don't get burned on offensive rebounds. But they've actually been doing a better job.
Yeah, I did notice in this game, there was a lot of rebounds they get. I want to check the rebounds. It was 47-43. So they actually out-rebounded the Knicks, but it seemed like for a while there, the Knicks were just getting every rebound.
I thought KP was hunting for blocks.
Oh,
and so
he
was getting out of position. I don't know that for sure. It could have just been trying to defend. But Maxey isn't a good rebounder. I think that's pretty common knowledge.
He's not a great rebounder.
Yeah, like if it falls to him, he'll get it. And just by default, he'll get 5 just because he's down there. But I like KP's defense when he tries. I like the option that he can go off and win a game for you by himself. I don't like the fact that he is our primary... secondary guy, our primary guy outside of Luka.
Yeah.
He's not reliable enough for me offensively in order to be that guy.
Yeah, I think, and like to say that he's not a secondary guy, that doesn't mean he's trash. Like,
no.
How many guys are a secondary guy on a championship team? Just only a few, you know, or even on an elite team. So I think Kristaps is still a very good player. I just don't think that, like you said, he could be the secondary guy. And again, like, I want to look at the numbers to see if what I think is actually what's happening, or maybe that's just my perception. But to me, it seems like he's just not quite solid enough to be that guy. Like maybe a third option, really great
to
role
me,
player, whatever. He's just not quite solid enough.
At what point down the totem pole do we just say, hey, we just need
him
to be a good player? We just need him to be a good player.
Yeah.
Just be a good basketball player.
Yeah.
And you're going to average 17, 18 points a game by default just because of your ability to shoot the ball. So just be a good player. Stop. To me, he's always thinking. He's always trying to be this, this, and this. And instead of just going out there and play, and it'll come naturally to him. He'll average 18, 19 a game, but he'll be happy. And I think he's always trying to be something he's not. And he's just thinking too much about it.
Yeah.
And this is really a subtle me. Like, I've expressed how I felt about him, and I'm getting killed, so I'm trying to be
nice about it. I think it's fair. He's averaging, like, I think 20 points a game this season, which is good, but that's not, I mean, it's not
great.
But
it's an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, 20 points is great. That's what I want from him, but I just want him to be reliable every night and not complain if he doesn't get his shots.
I think that the points that you're making are completely valid. Now, like I said, I want to look at the numbers to see. But I think just based on what we see, he has some pretty good games. He has some mediocre games. He's got some deficiencies in where he needs to get the ball. We have to work really hard, you know, to get him the ball in certain spots and how many shots. Like, I just, there's so much there that you have to work with that to me it's, it should be easier if he was really that second caliber kind of guy. But
again, I just want him to stop trying.
Yeah, well, and I hate, it's like after every game, it always goes back to this conversation. Well,
but like, this is his fault, though. Like, like, he can't just be happy, go out there and play, get your 17, 18 points. Some nights it'll be 36. Some nights it'll be 11, depending on the matchup. Yeah. Because you're 7-3 in a league that's dominated by wings. Yeah. And it's just, if he could just be happy and accept his role and who he is and who Luka is and just move on with his life, he would be so much happier. His numbers wouldn't change, except he would just be more consistent, I think, because he wouldn't be trying to be a superstar.
Yeah, I think one thing that I noticed, so there's two ways you could look at it. You could look at it as that where he thinks more of himself than he actually is. Or I noticed in a lot of like post-game interviews, especially whenever people could be in the locker room and kind of be there with him, he seems to put a lot of pressure on himself, not out of arrogance, but just out of, he feels that pressure to be that guy, to be the unicorn, to be the number four, whatever overall pick. And I don't know if it's because he's just overconfident or he just feels like that's what he's supposed to be.
I think it's, he thinks that he is that. And so because he thinks he is that, those are the kind of things that kind of player would say in a press. Like, Luka says the same thing, except Luka delivers.
Yeah, I don't mean the stuff of like how he wants to get the ball. I mean, he would say...
No. I'm saying like if he has a bad game, he expects more of himself.
Oh, okay, I see.
The team needs him. If he had a bad game and they lost, he takes responsibility for it.
Yeah. Well, I guess like to me, because of his, like his expression and the way he's talking about it, like you can feel the pressure that he feels on himself. Not that he's faking it or thinking that he whatever, but it's just he genuinely feels that pressure to be better.
Well, and it's, somebody needs to help him understand that that's not the way to do it, because when you say those kind of things, it just puts the pressure on yourself unnecessarily. Yeah.
Even if you were that great,
it's just unnecessary. Yeah,
don't think so much about it.
It's the same thing with Playoff George, Playoff P. Instead of holding himself...
You mean MVP?
Yes. George. Instead of holding himself accountable. So last year in the playoffs, he was terrible. He was absolutely atrocious. Mm-hmm. And all he did was make excuses and talk about how good he is and he needs to get back to this and play this and this and this. The smart thing for him to do would have just been said, you know, look, I didn't play well. Mm-hmm. I need to get back in the gym. I'm going to work hard this summer because I need to play better. So I need to do better. Yeah. And he, you know, accept what it is.
What happened.
And don't put unnecessary pressure. Because now when the playoffs start, all eyes are going to be on him.
Yeah.
Because of all the things he said. And in a similar way, kind of different, but in a similar way, what Porzingis constantly says puts unnecessary pressure on him.
That's true.
To deliver. And it's just not necessary. Like, just go out there and play, man.
Just be you, man. Just be you.
Yeah, that's my only thing. Just go out there and play. Just have fun. You look like you're miserable all the time.
He does look like he thinks a lot.
Yes, and it's just go play. Have fun. You know, accept that Luka is awesome. Just accept it. And ride his coattail. If I'm a player in the league, I want to hold on to Luka's jersey everywhere he goes and just kind of fly with him because he's going to take you to the promised land.
Anyway, so that was Kristaps. You know what I was thinking?
Every game.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it anymore. Okay, what I was thinking while watching this game, So we always talk about what do the Mavericks need? What are they lacking? Let me know what you think about this theory. I think that they are genuinely, and this is after a win that was a gritty win, so maybe I'm just in a good mood. I think they're genuinely one big piece away. I'm not saying one piece as in like, you know, Andre Iguodala signing with the Warriors or whatever. Yeah. But I mean like one big piece away, because getting another star, and again, doesn't have to be Giannis or whatever, but just a solid secondary guy would move everyone down a slot. And not necessarily move them down from, like, say, starting lineup to bench, although that might happen depending on what position that player is, but really just move them down the totem pole a little bit. You know, Josh Richardson, you need him a little less. You know, Porzingis, you need him a little, just needing these guys a little less. Because, I mean, honestly, these guys fill the roles. It's just that you rely on them too much.
So I 100% agree, except on the players. Okay. I think Richardson is a quality starter on a really good team because of the other things that he does outside of scoring.
The intangibles.
Yes. And the calmness, you know, the defense, the chasing players around. The same thing I feel with Maxey. Maxey can have nothing in the box score, but I still feel like he impacted the game, much like tonight, where Julius Randle was trash.
Yeah, he was like...
Worst game. Now...
That was RJ Barrett. Five for 20. All sucked.
Yeah, he was terrible. Yeah. 2 for 21. Just throw it out there. And I thought, yes, he impacted that a lot, but his size and his defense really impacted Randle. I think that's important. I think the position to upgrade on this team is Dorian's spot. A more consistent corner three-point shooter.
Yeah.
A guy that's the same defense, maybe a little bit better, but somebody that's a little bit more reliable with the ball in his hands, can score, can do more things than just be out there.
I mean, I think Dorian also does the intangibles.
Not enough, though.
Yeah, like, I would agree with you. Among all of their intangibles guys, I think he's probably the least one. And I think Dorian is a really good defender and a good... I'm not trashing him at all. But if you're looking at where can you upgrade, I think I would agree that it would be at that spot. That wing position. It doesn't have to be, you know, Dorian 3 and D, but better. But just that wing spot.
Yes.
He'll bring upgrade some of the same things, but just, better player.
And, you know, the guy I'd like is DeMar DeRozan.
A lot of people would disagree with you that would be.
Fine. Disagree with me. But the fact is that if Luka is being triple teamed or Luka's having a bad game, DeMar can carry the offense. Let's give some respect to DeMar DeRozan. The guy has been on the Raptors, who went to the Eastern Conference Finals twice, lost to LeBron both times.
Yeah.
Ain't no shame in that in the East, you know? Yeah. And it's not like that team was that great. Your second best player was the great
Kyle Lowry.
The one and only, the most underrated player in the league, Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
I say that with a lot of sarcasm in case you didn't catch that through the mic.
We're not like big Kyle Lowry fans.
No. But yes, I think DeMar DeRozan, and it's not, I don't think DeMar DeRozan is the perfect fit, but he's just the guy available.
He's available, yeah.
And so I think you should go after him, get you a secondary playmaker, throw the freaking three-point shot crap out the window. The guy can shoot.
Yeah.
He can score, and that's what you need.
Yeah, I felt very strongly about the DeMar DeRozan thing, but there's so many people that disagree that I'm starting to think maybe they're smarter than me, and which is totally possible, but I don't know. Maybe I should just research it more.
He's not coming here to be the best player.
Yeah.
He's coming here to be a major upgrade over. True. And there's no argument that he is not an upgrade over Dorian. If anybody argues that Dorian is more valuable to the Mavs than DeMar DeRozan would be, that guy has been brainwashed by the Mavs media bubble.
It's the reality distortion field.
The reality distortion
field. I'm trying to get this going. It's Mavs, the Dallas Mavericks reality distortion field
that they've created that convinces you that Dwight Powell was the most important person to the Mavericks offense last year.
Ever.
And then when he went out and their offense didn't skip a beat, they were like, oh, well, he's super important.
He's a good locker room guy, which I'm sure he does a lot in the
community.
Yeah.
But yes, that to me is the position to upgrade is Dorian's spot. I like Maxey and what he does, and I like Richardson and what he does. If you could upgrade Dorian, a significant upgrade there, I think this team goes to another level.
Yeah, and it's like, I think, to me, I think that's a rational take on this team. Because, like, we've trashed this team, and I've trashed Josh Richardson and all these guys. But, like, if I think about it rationally, it's like, you know, if they really just had another guy, then Josh Richardson averaging 13 points a game wouldn't be a problem. You know, and you can hype him up all you want or whatever at that point because you actually have a good guy. It's like right now we have to hype up a guy that's averaging 13 points a game. But, you know, if you have a star, it's not that bad, you know, or
well, all yeah, this stuff. Then so, he's filling his role.
Yeah, yeah.
And he would fill that role perfectly. Yeah. A veteran, calm presence. You saw it tonight in the Knicks game. I mm-hmm. think that whole comeback after the Knicks were going nuts, he played a direct role in that.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's done that several times this year. So, yeah, I don't even care about his scoring. The fact is he does the other things. And if you can get somebody else in here to put him in his natural role and Maxey in his natural role and Dorian in his natural role on the bench, not in a bad way,
yeah.
but he'd still be it a would cog. Move
him to the bench.
He'd still get minutes, but he wouldn't be as needed. Like, we need him to hit corner threes, and he just can't do it very often.
Well, and I noticed that he's starting to like do a little more with the ball, and I feel like they worked on that with him. Like, he slowly gets better and better at these little things every season. This year, he's starting to do more with the ball. But he's still not great at it. And so, yeah, a guy that could actually do that would
And I think it really hurts difference. Their offense. I know their offense is good, but when you have a guy out there that can do nothing when he gets the ball in his hands. Yeah. So, and that's why I kind of liked Aaron Gordon. I didn't think Aaron Gordon was great.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was a better player than Dorian. And I thought if you could get him for a bag of chips, which apparently is what the Nuggets got him for.
Yeah.
I mean, they got him for a couple first-round picks, I think. So it was kind of a big deal.
It was more than the Mavs probably could have given.
Yeah.
Him.
And but see, when Aaron Gordon would get the ball sometimes, at least he can dribble.
Yeah.
And he can dribble to a spot and pull up.
Yeah.
It may not be a great shot, but at least you got a shot.
Yeah.
Whereas Dorian will...
He can't really do
that.
He
can't do anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Either way, this summer is really big. Because Luka's going to sign his rookie extension, and once he's on a max and Kristaps is on a max, you know.
Do we not spend enough time on these games? Because we always go back
to the same
to
thing.
To the roster.
Well, I just thought about it because I was thinking about it during the game, so I wanted to say it, how yes, I think they're one major piece
I
away.
I think you're 100% right because a lot of players, the role that they play tonight is what you want. Maxey played his role perfectly. Josh Richardson played his role perfectly. Jalen played his role. Tim Hardaway, Luka, you know, and if they just had one more guy, this team. So I think you're 100% correct.
Yeah. And also it's like, it's tough when it's right after a game, it's instant reactions. Like if I could go back and watch the game a second time, obviously we would have more deeper analysis.
More deeper analysis. Yeah. I like it.
But this is like an instant reaction kind of thing.
Yeah.
My instant reaction is they had a grind out win, and I'm super proud of them for that. Kristaps wasn't great, and I feel like that's a trend, but I want to look it up. And the Knicks suck. So
well, the Knicks are actually pretty decent this year.
Yeah, they have a losing record.
Yeah, they're 24-25, yeah. But I still thought it was a good win. It was a tough win.
I thought
win.
So
yeah,
too.
I
yeah.
mean, anytime you go on the road and win, that's important, especially a team that's 500. That's not an easy win to have.
And the Knicks clearly really cared about this game.
Yes. Oh, 100%. I do think the Knicks' record is better than what their team is.
Yeah, I agree.
As we saw tonight, they just can't score.
Yeah.
And I think their defense is kind of fluky. Like, the Mavs missed a lot. They airballed shots that were wide open.
Yeah.
So I think it's just kind of coincidence that
their
3-point... Yeah, because they got a lot of normal open shots that they get anybody else. They just didn't make him.
Yeah. Before I forget, I need to remind everyone of our giveaway. We're giving away three t-shirts featuring Luka Doncic. I'm reminding you because the last day to enter is Monday. So you have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. You have 4 days left. So you can enter at dallashoopscast.com/homage, H-O-M-A-G-E. The t-shirts are from homage.com. One of them, actually, you probably saw today on The Jump on ESPN. They had a version of one of the t-shirts that we're giving away. Ours features Luke and KP, obviously, because we're the Mavs, but you can win that t-shirt. So just FYI.
Yeah, I was about to ask, wasn't that the one on ESPN?
The Jump.
Yeah.
That's literally what I just said.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that.
Oh, you were going to ask me.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
So I'm glad you mentioned
it. Well, question answered.
Yeah, once you lose the attitude, God. Yeah, see what I live with? This is what I live with. I ask a normal thing. I say something.
I just said that.
Are you an idiot or something?
But yes, it was. It was that style t-shirt.
Thank you.
They make them featuring different people, and we got the one from the Mavs.
Thank you for clarifying that.
You're welcome, Martin.
What do you think the Mavs are going to do tomorrow?
With
the Wizards, it's a second night of a back-to-back.
Oh, I mean, I want to say that they'll probably sit both Luka and Kristaps. Luka played 35 minutes. Kristaps played 34. It's a back-to-back. The Wizards suck. If Bradley Beal is out, I mean, I think they're
then
probably
it's an easy win. Like,
if you play them,
yes,
yeah.
I think you need to play them because even in the old 82 game schedule that mm-hmm. was stretched out or whatever, there were still some.
Let
yes,
me interrupt
I'm going to finish
you.
Your point.
Let me interrupt.
No, no,
I'm going to
no,
let you
no.
finish. Oh. Okay, that's another good point. It's only 72 games this year, and I know they're closer together, but it's 10 fewer games. Okay, continue.
But that wasn't my point.
Okay, well,
my point was, even in a regular year, there's back-to-backs that sometimes they play. They don't sit all of them. It's like, so are we just going to sit every single one of them now?
Apparently.
We're not going to play any of them?
Apparently, I never played on a back-to-back before.
So, hopefully... Because the thing is, the way they have rested them over the last 2 weeks, they played like four games in the last 2 weeks. So I feel like it's okay to play one
at least
back
this
to back.
One.
Yeah. So we'll,
I know.
We'll see.
I guess if you were going to sit on a back to back, it would be against one of the worst teams in the league. But maybe that's
like
why you should play.
Opportunity.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
you
just
should win.
Guarantee the win.
I think that's the wise thing to do because you got Utah right after that.
Yeah.
And Utah's tough. They're number one in the West. It would suck to have a two-game losing streak because we didn't play our guys against
Washington.
Yeah, and not that... I'd rather you sit against Utah and just guarantee the win tomorrow.
But, like, not that you want to say, oh, we're going to lose to the Jazz, so we might as...
No.
You don't want... But I'm just saying... Just in case.
The chances,
you know,
yeah,
like,
the chances of losing to the Jazz are a lot higher.
Yeah, yeah. So in our last episode, we talked a lot about that. You can listen to that where I talked about just why I think it's ridiculous to, I mean, resting I understand, but this idea that losing doesn't matter, that it's not a big deal or justifying it, I talked about that in the last episode. But yeah, I think they're probably going to rest them, and I'm already upset about it.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll find out tomorrow.
There'll be lower back tightness.
The classic.
Yeah. Anything else, Martin?
I think that's it.
Awesome.
Okay.
Thank you guys for listening, and thank you for all your support on Apple Podcasts. I know, like, we're shooting for 30 reviews. I bring this up all the time.
You mean 30,000?
Well, yes, that too, but we are so close. Last I checked, we're at 27. Thank you guys so much. I know this is totally just for us, and it's totally selfish, but I appreciate it so much. If we can get to 30... I'll be really, really happy. So thank you so much for your support. Anything else, Martin? No? Okay, great. We'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye.